Let us pray.
Eternal Father, you gave to your incarnate Son the holy name of Jesus to be the sign of our salvation. Plant in every heart, we pray, the love of him who is the Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. American author Madeleine L'Engle once said, a blessing is an attitude toward all of life, moving beyond words. During this Christmas tide, let us see how we have received the blessing of the triune God and how living in that blessing changes the way we view life. The priestly blessing found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27 is familiar to a lot of folks. But although I had read it several times throughout my study of the scriptures, I'll never forget the first time I actually heard it spoken over people. It was on a worship album recorded by Michael W. Smith. And I imagined him sitting at the piano on stage, overlooking all the people in the crowd below and saying these blessed words in his West Virginian accent. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the book of Numbers, before the Israelites have even entered into the promised land, the Lord tells Moses to tell Aaron, who is the high priest, and Aaron's sons to bless the people of God with this special blessing. Special. This is not just a blessing, but a special one, declares the Lord. And notice this. Notice this. The holy name of the Lord is used three times. Not once, not twice, but thrice. Oh, how very nice. The blessing which declares the name of the Lord thrice ensures that God is for his people. He actually moves toward them. He acts on their behalf. He brings them his favor and his peace. This is the priestly blessing bestowed upon a priestly people, a people called out for the sake of the world. And it reveals to us how marvelous the love of God really is. He will bless the people who have been blessed in his most holy name. The priestly blessing begins with the imagery of living and dwelling underneath the banner of God, under the shelter of God. The Israelites had experienced this, no doubt, firsthand. They had come out of slavery and oppression in Egypt. They had seen with their own eyes the strong right arm of the Lord in miracle after miracle. They had known his tender care and his protection in the desert wilderness for 40 years. The Lord bless you and keep you. Is God not a shepherd of his people? Does he not lavish upon them a father's love? Does he not give them a father's blessing? Father's blessing is quite important. It is really powerful in the Old Testament, and it is really meaningful for our world today. For in our world now, we have generations that have come up, that have grown up with the void of a father's love and blessing in their lives. How devastating! How gut-wrenching! But oh, how comforting and how assuring are these words of the priestly blessing to live underneath the Father's banner of love, his unfailing protection, his commitment to those who are his. He will bless us. He will keep us in his name. His name. This promise is given. Well, the second part of the priestly blessing should cause all of us to pause with wonder. I mean, when was the last time you thought of the Lord smiling upon you? When was the last time you thought of this? I'm convinced that most people don't think of this when they think of God. I'm pretty sure that most people have this picture, an image of God frowning upon them or being quite stern. But the Lord smiles upon his people. Show me those teeth this morning. The Lord smiles upon his people. It's true. He does. God's smile lights us up. I can't think about God making his face shine upon us and not think of Jesus. Especially this time of year when we enter into the celebration of Jesus taking on human flesh and being born of a pure virgin. God makes his face shine upon us. God smiles on us up close and personal in the God-man Jesus Christ. Now there's a great line from Fiddler on the Roof where a man comes up to the rabbi and asks, "Is there a blessing for the czar?" And the rabbi responds, "A blessing for the czar? Of course. May God bless and keep the czar far away from us." But God's blessing comes very, very close. God's blessing comes very, very near for all peoples. All peoples. Because of Jesus who has entered into our world, because of Jesus who has changed the course of history, because of Jesus, we receive God's grace. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. You see, this grace cannot be earned by being obedient. God's grace is a gift, man. It is offered because of the saving work of Jesus upon the hardwood of the cross. You see, if God has come so very near to us in Jesus to shine upon us, to smile upon us, you can be sure that he extends his grace to us. This grace means forgiveness of sins. This grace means deliverance from our enemies. The flesh, the world, the devil, the face of Jesus has smiled upon us. And continually smiles upon us, giving us the riches of God's inexhaustible grace. His light shines upon you. His light shines within you. He smiles upon you. And he gives you sweet, amazing grace. In his name, this promise is given. Well, with the final section of the priestly blessing, we are brought to the crescendo. To the mountain peak, which is peace. Peace. What is the ultimate peace? It is peace with God. But how is this peace accomplished? And how is it made manifest to us? In Jesus. Surprise. He is the Savior. Oh, what a name. Jesus. God saves. God to the rescue. The Lord is my salvation. That's what his name means. Jesus brings peace with God in his atoning death upon a tree for me, for you, for everyone, for the world. The host of angels sing at his birth, glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When Jesus talks with his disciples about the coming Holy Spirit, what does he say? He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." The peace of the Lord. It's simply amazing. The imagery of the blessing here is the lifting up of the Lord's face to give us his peace, his perfect peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You see, the peace of the Lord is more than what we think it is. It means complete wholeness, opulence, well-being, and salvation. This peace is a treasure chest of good gifts. Good gifts to God's children. How does this change your life? Knowing that the Lord has lifted his eyes upon you. Upon you. And that he gives you his perfect peace. In his name. His name. This promise is given. In this priestly blessing, we have the repetition of the divine name given three times. Now, the New Testament teaches us that Jesus is Lord. The New Testament also teaches us that the Holy Spirit is Lord. And in the light of Jesus, and in the coming of the Spirit, the blessing of the Trinity is pronounced, and it is pronounced with the name of the Lord upon those who have been made children of God. But let's zoom in here on how this is accomplished, how this name has been conferred upon you, upon me. The Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear in our lesson today from Galatians. We who were slaves have now been brought into the family of God. We were slaves to sin. We were children of wrath, but we were brought into God's household, into his family by adoption. So how do slaves become children? Because of Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. Have you noticed this? It's all about him. Because God chose us in Jesus. The Father sent his one and only Son, his beloved, beloved Son, into the world, living in perfect obedience to give himself as a sacrifice for the world. You see, Jesus was God's Son, but he was also Mary's Son, meaning that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And this means that only he could accomplish what was needed to make us children of God. As one biblical scholar puts it, Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father as God's Son born of a woman fulfilled all the requirements of the law. To be born under the law also means to experience what? The curse of the law against all who fail to observe all that the law requires. So the law is a big deal here. We're only made children of God because of Jesus, because he lived in perfect obedience. So because of Jesus, we are given the privilege and the rights as sons and daughters of the living God. Amen? Amen. Only he could do this. Because of Jesus, we have been adopted into God's family, meaning that God chose us. He picked us. We are not second-class family members. To make this point, Paul has the Roman concept of adoption in mind here. In Roman life, if a son was adopted into a family, that son was equal to all other members born into the family. What exactly did this entail? It meant that this son brought into the family had the same name, for starters. It also meant that they shared the same future inheritance to come. And it meant that they also had the same rights and status as the other sons. So why does Paul present all of this? Why does he do it? To show us how God has so richly blessed us. It's all a gift and a work of God. We are not children of God by nature. We are children of wrath. We were made children of God by adoption, and we received the full rights of sonship, of daughterhood, all because of Jesus. So what does this mean? Same name, same inheritance, same rights as our Lord Jesus, who is the unique Son by his divine nature. So have we not been lavishly blessed and loved by God? We have a position as sons and daughters that is eternally secure. But wait, that's not all. There's more. God has even more blessing in store for us. We also get to experience being his sons and his daughters because the Father sent the Holy Spirit of his Son Jesus to us. The Spirit was poured out into our lives. Boom! Merry Christmas. Is that not huge? Is that not life-changing? Does that not just make you smile on this eighth day of Christmas? Because the Spirit now indwells us. We have this new relationship with God as Father. For the Spirit prompts us to call out, Abba, Father. We have such incredible access to the Father now because we are what? Children of God. What does this begin to look like? Well, there's an old Roman story about an emperor who enjoyed a great victory. And as was custom, he marched through the streets of Rome with all of his spoils of war behind him. Troops, all the victories of war, everything. And as the procession was proceeding down the street, tall legionaries had lined the street's edges to keep the people in their places. Well, there was a small platform where the emperor's family was sitting and watching the procession go by. When you think of Macy's Day Parade, you know, on Thanksgiving, way bigger, I'm sure. And the youngest son jumped off to make his way through the crowd, attempting to get through the legs of one of the legionnaires. The boy wanted to go see his dad, his father, the emperor. But he was stopped, and he was picked up by the legionnaire, who asked, "You can't do this. Why would you even think that? Don't you know who that is in the chariot? That is the emperor. You can't just run out to his chariot." The little boy looked and laughed, saying, "He may be your emperor, but he's my father. He's my father." The holy name has been conferred on us, my brothers and sisters, meaning that we live under the blessing of the Holy Trinity, because God has adopted us into his family in Jesus Christ. And we have access to the King of Heaven, our Father, because of Jesus. And because we experience this relationship and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, who was given and poured out in love upon you and me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The priestly blessing in Numbers we can rightly view as Trinitarian. And when Jewish priests offered these words of blessing, they would form their hands in the shape of the Hebrew letter Shin to present the name of Almighty God, El Shaddai. And Leonard Nimoy ran with this concept for his Vulcan blessing on Star Trek. Live long and prosper. But you most certainly have noticed that when we conclude our Eucharistic worship, right before we are sent out as the missionary people of God, right before we are sent out as the priestly people of God, the priest pronounces the blessing of the Trinity upon God's children. And the sign of the cross is made over God's children, reminding them that they have been sealed in Christ, that they have been brought into the family of God, and that they have been immersed into the life of the Holy Trinity through adoption. What a blessing to be God's children and to live underneath this banner of his covenant love, which extends forever, for all time, to be his people whom he will use to bless the world. We've been blessed to bring blessing. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Let us pray. Almighty God, in the birth of your Son, you have poured on us the new light of your incarnate word and shown us the fullness of your love. Help us to walk in this light and dwell in his love, that we may know the fullness of his joy, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.